Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, Sales Success Coach. Now, they call me the Queen of Predictable Sales Results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to expand her clients' vision so they can create the professional and personal lives they desire. So I am super excited to introduce Carmen Payne. Now, Carmen is the owner of SOAR, Transformational Life Coaching, and is a professional and personal development coach and speaker with 25 years experience in the areas of leadership, coaching, mentoring, training, and project management. Now, during her corporate career, Carmen traveled the world leading international IT projects. This included developing, testing, training, and deploying global solutions with large international teams. Today, as Carmen follows her passion for coaching and speaking, she helps leaders cultivate an environment for transparency, collaboration, and empowerment, so they can create empowered, energized, and exceptional employees and teams. Well, welcome, Carmen. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Wendy. Thank you.
Yeah, and I just love how you're helping people tap into what's ultimately possible for them. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
I can't wait to share it with them. Thank you, your audience.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, Carmen, I'm just curious here, exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching and speaking business?
So it was back in, 2012. And I was sitting at my corporate desk in my cubicle.
Right.
So many millions of people do. And I got my 20-year anniversary email, and it kind of hit me in the right between the eyes, like, oh my God, I've been working at the same company, not in the same division or the whole time, but certainly in the same company for 20 years. And I was at this point where I really was kind of disillusioned with where I was going. And I really didn't see myself doing that job anymore until I retired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was a very toxic work environment, highly stressful job, really didn't feel like my schedule belonged to me, because everything I was doing was around what work demanded, because I was a project manager at the time. And it really made me do some reflection as to, okay, what do I want to do with the rest of my career? And I've always been that person that everybody comes into my cube and wants to sit next to and tell all their problems to and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And I realized that what I really wanted to do was coach people. And so that was really the tipping point for me. That 20-year anniversary email really kind of tipped me over the edge to finally have the courage to go seek and do something that I'm truly passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it was the wake-up call that aligned you with your true zone of genius, like I like to allude to, which is something that you already had been doing, helping people, coach them through their problems or bringing insight to them, and then realizing that, you know, you could probably do this on your own in a more fulfilling way. So yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, obviously you had been in that role of coaching and mentoring people, but 2012. Is that when you started your own coaching practice then?
So I went off and I looked at what can I do to become certified? Because for me, it was important to have credibility behind what I was going to go out in the world to try and do. And so I took a 150-hour coaching course when I first started back in 2013. I got myself certified as a life coach.
Okay.
And then when I got my first certification in coaching, because I have a number of them now, but when I, back then, as soon as I got my first certification in coaching, that's when I kind of put my sign out to say, I'm doing this now as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So 2013, so roughly 7 years. Now, has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it really has. You know, when I first got into coaching, I was very much focused on doing the one-on-one clients with a certain type of professional, because I realized that I wasn't the only professional feeling the way I was in the workforce. Mm-hmm. You know, about 50% of employees feel like they're working in a toxic environment or don't like the boss that they're working for example, which is 50, tragic.
50%?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. 50% of employees leave their work, their job because of the boss and the leader they're working for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just further impassioned me, if you like, to really work with those individuals so that I can show them a different way to be, right? So how can they cope in their current role, because like some people feel very trapped, like they can't just quit their job and go, you know, go to the islands and sell cocktails right on the beach, like we all want to do, right? But, you know, how can I exist in my current role and not let that be roadblocks for them? And how can I transition from that to doing something else in an environment that is not toxic for them, where they're not so stressed, where they're not in overwhelm, where they actually like the boss they're working for. So, how, you know, those were the people that I was initially helping. And now it's kind of evolved to, I still work with clients in that, you know, who are experiencing those things, for sure, because it really breaks my heart when I hear somebody's working in an environment like that. But now I realize that, you know, I'm just treating the symptoms. I'm not treating the root cause of the issue, which is I need to be getting myself in front of leaders and managers and people who are leading and managing the team and creating the culture for that environment, right? So my business model has changed that I'm actually going out and speaking to leadership groups, management teams, conferences, and just sharing with them my philosophy on leading with your heart. So I kind of do a combination of both now. I work with the individual who's really suffering in their current role and helping them to change that situation for them. And then I'm getting in front of the leaders so that I can hopefully help them create a different environment for their employees. So the 100% of their workforce want to stay and continue working for them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That makes so much sense, because it's one thing to be able to, as an employee, see things through maybe a new paradigm and have new tools to be able to endure a toxic environment. But I love the fact that you've taken it then to the root cause and are now being the change of the entire culture through the leaders. So that is fantastic. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
Oh my God, myself being the hugest.
Okay. That's what happens when we go into business for ourselves. There we are in huge form, all of our assets and weaknesses.
Yeah. So I had to recognize when I decided to take the leap from working in corporate, which was a steady, you know, paycheck and all the benefits and things like that, to being an entrepreneur, that I really was my own biggest obstacle to my own success, because I had a lot of that imposter syndrome. Who am I to be doing this? And really having to tap into remembering all the experience that I have over, you know, I've worked since I was 10 years old. I've had a job. I've gone through a ton of different personal challenges as well. And when I initially stepped out to do this entrepreneur thing, I had forgotten all of that. You know, I had forgotten that at the time I was in my, late 30s. You know, I come with over two decades of experience, both personally in my personal life and in my professional life. And that's what I bring to the table when I'm standing in front of not huge crowds, but I've stood in front of 180 people and shared the message, and I've worked individually one-on-one, and I've done some workshops. So that's what I'm bringing in addition to my certifications, you know, to the table. Right. So I really had to overcome a lot of that imposter syndrome and remind myself that I'm not just fresh off the boat, so to speak, and just decided that I'm
right.
Teach from a place where there's no depth.
Yeah. And that is, it's an interesting paradigm to shift, because we are brand new in business for ourselves, which is what is glaring in our own mind. However, like you referenced, you have over two decades of hands-on experience within these situations and these environments and face-to-face with peers and leadership. And really, even though embarking on a new business is a new business, the experience is very deep and very broad. So what did you do to overcome that sense of imposter syndrome, as you put it?
So I've worked with coaches to help me in that area, because obviously I believe in coaching and I really see the value in it. And I don't just say that because I am a coach, but I recognize that there's other coaches that work in other areas of genius outside of mine, like yourself, Wendy, you're the sales genius, that could really help me overcome the mental chatter that was going on between my ears in that area, and reminding me, you know, who I am as a human being, and what I do bring to the table. So I've worked with coaches. And, you know, the other obstacle I just recently overcome was, you know, I had a partner who didn't believe in what I was doing. And, you know, if you're living with somebody on a daily basis that wants to support you in certain ways, but doesn't believe what you're doing is adding value. But, and that was another huge obstacle adding to my own self-worth as to why I was doing what I was doing. Another thing you have to do is, you know, you have to listen to your own voice inside your head, your own heart, so to speak, and just really assess which is the stronger voice here that you're going to listen to. You know, if you know intuitively in your gut that you really have a talent for what you're doing and you really have a passion and want to help people in the capacity that you want to help in, that should be the overriding factor, regardless of what anyone else is saying to you outside of that, like in my case, my partner. And you look for the evidence of your success, right? And so I'm constantly being validated by my clients, right? And that really helped me overcome a lot of that imposter syndrome. And then working with other coaches who have, you know, are way ahead of me in terms of their journey in their business and learning from them and learning from my peers, that really helped me a great deal.
Right. Yeah. And that's an interesting point that you make, in that teaming up with somebody that's further along in their business journey can help you gain strength in really validating the zone of genius that you have. Because what I've discovered is that for us, I mean, it's just who we are, right? It becomes the norm of our idea of who we are. But when we share our zone of genius, which is so effortless for us, with others, it's monumental. But for us, the point I'm trying to make is it just seems ho-hum. You know, it seems like, well, that's just, you know, it seems so obvious. It's so logical. It's so easy peasy, you know. But for somebody who doesn't have our unique zone of genius, it's extremely impactful. And obviously you're walking your talk, you know, and in coming into the realization that you are meant for more and tapping into what is ultimately a bigger vision for yourself that is really in alignment with what you help others do. And so this experience that you had to go through in learning how to stand strong, regardless of your partner's lack of vision within, you know, that matches yours. I mean, boy, that can be extremely challenging, because that person is your confidant and, you know, your soulmate, and there's a sense of vulnerability there. So So yeah, gaining those skills through your own journey is really what helps you to even be more impactful to your clients. So it's all part of that business journey that we're on to become even better every day. And, you know, you brought up just gaining skills as part of the being in business. And so I'm curious, you know, obviously you're an expert at helping professionals realize their full potential, but how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? This is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business? And I'm gathering, since you're chuckling a little bit there, you might.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. You know, I'm really great once I've got the client in front of me and working with them, whether that be one-on-one or in workshops, or, you know, when I'm talking and, you know, doing a keynote or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like that initial, I lack confidence in the sales process or the client enrollment process, and especially in the area of charging what I'm worth. That is a constant and ongoing thing for me, because as my business evolves and I'm doing other services, that becomes another, you know, that become, it's almost like it's, oh, there I am again.
Right.
I'm doing keynote speaking, but I'm not charging what I should be charging. You know, everybody keeps telling me, you got to add another zero to that cost. And I'm like, you know, so that's really where I really struggle right now. I would say, Wendy, is like my confidence in charging what I'm worth.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And that is a common dilemma and source of frustration for so many service-based entrepreneurs, because we are our own product, right? It's one thing when you're sitting in a corporation and you're helping them create the revenue and you're under their market presence and, you know, what you perceive as their large strength and track record. And then when we step out on our own, why then there we go with who am I to, and that imposter syndrome kind of ekes back in there. But if you'd like, I can provide you with a little bit of a paradigm shift here that might help.
I would love that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so when it comes to gaining that strength and confidence around what investment level we really, I don't want to use the word should, because everything needs to feel aligned with our own sense of integrity and value, but we want to expand that sense of value. So the exercise that I love to share with my clients is to really do some brainstorming or journaling in terms of what is the impact of the work that we provide, you know, the service that we provide for our clients. What really is the real life impact? Now, if we're talking about leaders within a corporation, we can even expand that to the impact on the corporation itself. And so not only the individuals in their life and how they're showing up in their relationships, in their, you know, their personal life, as well as their strength and confidence and abilities as leaders, and gaining that sense of ease and inspiration and influence, as well as creating this culture for employees to thrive. I mean, when you start thinking and really brainstorming and journaling about the ripple effect of the work that you do and how it touches so many different aspects of people's lives and the corporation, they're touching people's lives, right? Whatever corporation it is, ultimately they're providing a value and a solution and a service for their client base. And so when you really assess the value in that moment of brainstorming where you're not speaking with a potential client, and you can really crystallize in your own mind, truly, logically, honestly, the value of the work you do, then it helps you to own that value. For me, I'm very analytical and logical. And so for me, it just helps me to, okay, let's do an assessment. Let's do an analysis of what is the impact of the work I do and how does that impact then the next level and the ripple effect. So gaining that clarity in your mind and really owning that and reminding yourself of that frequently, because it is a new thought pattern. The old thought pattern is that, oh, here I am. It's just me. Who am I to be doing this? Well, we have to replace that thought pattern. And for me, the only way to replace that is to really just keep reminding myself, no, here's the logic, here's the truth, here's the impact. Does that make sense for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it does. Because as you were speaking, you know, I was reminded of a conversation I had a little while ago about, you know, what is the cost of attrition when you're losing, you know, 50% of your workforce because the leaders are terrible.
Right, exactly. And then, yeah, so that's the second part of this. So once you gain this clarity, then you can ask these almost rhetorical questions of your ideal or prospective client and bring them into that thought pattern and help them gain clarity around the impact of staying where they're at and the impact of actually up-leveling the culture, up-leveling the leadership abilities so that the employees love what they do and are highly productive and can't wait to come back Monday morning. And, you know,
right.
And so you help your potential client on that same kind of thought pattern.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of turnover and instability and whatnot, we're still in the middle of this pandemic. I would like to think we're on the tail end of it with the vaccine is now supposedly just within grasp here. We shall see. But I'm curious here, Carmen, what has the impact of the pandemic had on the work that you do?
You know, it's really been interesting because, you know, obviously a lot of it's moved to virtual and that's, you know, fine. So you've had to, I as a speaker, for example, I've had to adjust from being in person to how do I engage my audience virtually, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing that I think I've been really noticing is because I do this and I also manage a team of 25 people. And so I'm walking the leadership shoes every day. And, you know, I reflect on how am I handling, you know, the stress, the additional stress of working with this pandemic and how is that affecting my team and what fears and concerns that they have and your ability to show up as a leader and be there in the capacity that you need to be there for your team. You really have to take care of yourself. You know, you have to manage your stress. You have to do things that allow you to not get compassion fatigue, for example, and things like that. So what I've been doing is I've been posting I try to post at least once a week on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, a video where I'm sharing really easy tools and techniques to continue to function well as a leader, because this is different. You know, many of us haven't experienced this before, right? And so what I'm doing to help others, this is kind of my way of just helping everyone who wants to watch those videos to manage themselves better, or, you know, even better than they might be doing now, and remembering to take care of themselves. It's kind of like that, the analogy that gets used constantly, right? You have to put your own mask on in the plane before you help someone else, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so I'm talking oxygen mask, not facial mask.
Right.
But oxygen mask. In the plane before you put on the, you know, before you help someone else. Otherwise, you are not going to be able to show up as a leader. You are not going to be able to support the team in the way that they need to be supported. So that's what I've been doing. I've kind of, you know, I've been trying to do these videos that share nuggets of tools that not just leaders can use, but everyone can use to help them through this time.
Yeah, no, that is so relevant and so important because the virtual workspace and remote environments, those have created such difficulties for corporate leaders to maintain that sense of unity and alignment. So, well, how do you work with professionals who want to finally tap into their true potential and achieve an even better version of themselves? Can you share a little about your philosophy and your approach?
Sure. So if it's individually, I truly believe that there isn't a one-size-fits-all methodology, because everybody comes to you with one thing, but really once you peel back the layers, right, it's usually something else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always customize my coaching with every individual. And I sell coaching packages. You know, I offer coaching packages, a minimum of 5 sessions. And, you know, after those 5 sessions, many clients want to continue and just do tune-up sessions, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do with individuals. Now, when I'm working with leadership teams, it's typically I go in and I'll either do, you know, an hour 15 workshop with them at a very high level and touch on the philosophies of leading with your heart. Or there's a full day workshop, and then I can continue doing, you know, group coaching virtually with them as well, just to see how they're doing with implementing those philosophies, those key success factors that I call them key success criteria. And so, yeah, that's basically how I work with people. Typically, I can either do individual coaching or I can do group coaching and workshops with them, and or I can come in and do a speaking event.
Nice. So is SOAR an acronym? S-O-A-R?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, I just thought I would ask, because it's a great, you know, it's a great business name. And obviously it clearly reflects the work that you do is helping teams and helping leadership soar. So I was just curious. So, well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
So I have a website, and my website is soartlc.com. Right. And they can reach me through there. There is a way that they can connect with me via email. And I also have a phone number. So I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share that on your podcast.
Oh, sure. If you'd like, that's fine. I'll include the, you know, your URL. I'm including that in your show notes, but you can certainly share other modes of connection.
So I have a phone number, 480-334-9310. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as well. You can find me with my name.
Carmen Payne. Okay, perfect. Yeah. So that's SOAR. So it's SOARTLC. SOARTLC.com is the website. Correct. And you're also present on Facebook and Instagram through your name, Carmen Payne.
And on LinkedIn. Sorry, I
always forget LinkedIn that one. As well. Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
You can find me on LinkedIn, yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. All right. Fantastic. Well, Carmen, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here during our conversation, but if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Wow, that's a really heavy question.
Yeah, I know. And we've been talking a bit about this, you know, through your own experience, right? But if there's something that stands out for you that really was that, you know, pillar or rock.
So I would say be flexible with yourself and be kind, you know. And I always used to, when I first started out, I always would hear, you know, go to market with what you have, right? So we always want to be perfect. Everything has to be, you know, your ducks in a row, your website has to be spot on, all these kind of things, right? Before we really truly want to launch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I started out, I had 1 coaching certification and, you know, almost 3 decades of experience,
right?
Personal and professional experience. And as I grew my business, I got additional certifications and I updated my website. And you just can't, because it's a moving thing. It's always evolving. So yeah, never be afraid to go with what you have, because it's always going to be a moving target. And that's good, because it shows your own growth. That's what I would say is, mm-hmm, don't wait for everything to be perfect. And, you know, that you have to have 15,000 certifications under your belt. Just go with what you've got, because you've already got, if you've got the passion to do something and you've got, you want to serve or sell a product or whatever it is you're doing, just do it with what you have now and evolve from there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That's great. I love that. It's difficult sometimes to not want to continue tweaking and perfecting and well, I got to get 1 more certification. Well, this and that, you know, I got to update my website. I got to fine tune this before you venture out, but it just takes that courage to make that leap. I love that. That is such wonderful. And to be kind to yourself, that's huge, and not be your worst enemy. So sometimes we as entrepreneurs can have a pretty demanding boss. Talk about toxic work environments.
Yes, exactly. And I, you know, I'll openly admit, you know, I am my own worst critic. And that's why it helps to have peers around you that are a couple of steps ahead that can just put things in perspective for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that whole ability just to be kind to yourself, because you're going to make mistakes, you're going to pivot, you're going to evolve. And that's all part of being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that is definitely. That's part of the joy and the frustration, right? Yes. All right. Well, Carmen, it has just been so great hearing about your journey from that 20-year wake-up call, that email, not a call, an email that you got congratulating you on 20 years of work with that corporation, which I was going to comment on that. You got an email? You didn't get, I hope they gave you a party, but anyway, no. That 20-year anniversary email that you got, that was that wake-up call into something that you knew you had this talent and this sense of ability to take it beyond that corporation to this important work you're now doing, coaching and speaking, helping others, and helping leaders cultivate an environment for transparency, collaboration, and empowerment so that they can create empowered, energized, and exceptional employees and teams. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Oh, it's been an honor. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Carmen Payne through her website, which is soartlc.com. That's soartlc.com. Or search for her by name, Carmen Payne, CARMEN, and then Payne, PAYNE. Search for her on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. All right. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So, are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Carmen Payne. And as always, here's to your success.